O God, take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. And take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. Growing up, I don't remember a time when I was told that my older sister was adopted and that I was my parents' biological child. It was just a normal part of our lives. My parents would stress that how we each came to them was special, and often they would say, God makes family in many different ways. I think this came to mean more to me than it ever meant to them when they were saying it, and it has become a hope that I cling to, a promise of what God is doing in our world. To be honest, when I looked over the readings this week, I became a little jealous of Jonathan. He started out with a sermon here on the beautiful Trinity. And this week, the readings are about sin. Not just sin, but the fall and unforgivable sin. Great. But the more I read and studied these passages, I realized that the themes are not as separated as we might think. In the Trinity, we see the very core and essence of God as love, belonging, and connection. We are made in the very image of God, so we know that we are made the same way. The very core and essence of who we are is made for connection, love, and belonging. We are made to live in relationship with God and with one another. It's what gives us purpose and meaning, because it's how we were created to live. And I don't know about you, but perfect fellowship with God and my family, friends, and neighbors is not how I would describe my daily life. And when I read the newspaper, it's pretty clear that God's dream for our world is not our current reality. At the core of our being, we're made for love and belonging, and yet it is far different than the reality we wake up to most mornings. And in today's readings, we explore why. Our Genesis passage starts with an incredible line. The man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. How incredible does that sound? God comes along for a nice stroll as the sun is setting, and we're left to assume that this is just a normal daily activity. But this is occurring just after the man and the woman have eaten from the tree which God told them not to eat from. So they hide. God calls to them, and the man says he was afraid because he was naked. God asks if they ate from the tree. The man blames the woman blames the serpent, and things are never the same. Now often we move on to the misinterpreted and misused curse to explain what has changed, but I'd like to look back because it's too important to miss. God came to walk in the garden. That after the man and woman had disobeyed. God knew what they had done, but God came to walk in the garden with them anyway. And the man and the woman hide. So often I've heard explanations of sin and the fall that say we are so broken, so sinful, that God cannot hear us or relate to us. But this story, which is our story, says that's not the case. God comes to walk with us. Nothing we can do changes the immense love and desire of God to be present with us. But we hide. We don't even remember a time before knowing we had done something wrong. We were born into families and a world that is broken, and we have always known that we are broken, that something is not exactly right with us. And that shame, that thing that makes us fear we are not worthy of love and belonging, makes us believe that if we were fully known, we could never be fully loved. And in our shame, we blame others and hurt them, damaging our relationships with each other as well. But that voice of shame is wrong, and this is where we know it. God comes to walk with us, knowing fully who we are and what we have done. This is not to say that our brokenness does not matter, but our brokenness is not all that we are. We are still made in the image of God. We are still the ones God made and said that it was good. We are sinners and saints, broken and beautiful, scarred and holy. And on throughout Scripture, regardless of what we have done, God comes to be with us. And whether or not the walking in the first garden was figurative, in Jesus, God literally comes to walk with us. In our story in Mark, we catch up with Jesus walking in our world, clearly full of the brokenness we know now. Again, the beginning of the story tells us something important. The crowd around Jesus is pressing in so that he and his disciples cannot even eat. Jesus has been out healing people everywhere he goes. Those who can come on their own are following him, hoping to be healed of all that has wounded them. And shortly before this is the famous story of the friends who cut a hole in a roof so that they can lower their friend on his bed to be with Jesus. Those who are seeking healing for themselves and those they love are surrounding Jesus so closely that he can't even eat. But we also learn of others trying to get to him. First, his family comes to restrain him because people are saying that he has gone out of his mind, and even that he is possessed not just by demons, but by the ruler of demons. I'm sure this was embarrassing to the family, but remember that in their day, there were no psychiatric hospitals or compassion for mental illness. If they could not get him home and restrain him, these things being said were likely a death sentence. Even if they believed his ministry was good, this desire just to bring him home till things calmed down was likely an act of love. And because they knew what could happen to him with these things being said, and because we know the rest of the story, we actually know that they were right. Their actions are full of shame and fear and love. And maybe even more than the pictures of Jesus holding Mary, this story lets us know that Jesus was part of a very real family, a family that was full of love and brokenness, and probably where Jesus learned, as we all do, the depth of how intertwined those two things can be. We were made for love and belonging. Often our family is where we know the deepest bonds of those connections. And because of that, it also becomes the place where we become most deeply aware of how broken we are. And Jesus must have known this too. Jesus' response to his family's question seems harsh. He asks, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" and looks around the table and responds, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." Is Jesus just brushing off the bonds of family? At this moment, there is a distinct difference among those surrounding him. Many in the crowd are pressing in to be healed, but his family is pressing in to hide him from these people. And Jesus, God walking among us, has not come to hide from us in the beginning or then or now. God has come among us to heal us. Jesus goes on to have even harsher words for those who suggest that his work is the work of demons. He says, "Whoever blasphemes the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin." To be honest, these words have struck fear in me since I was young, but we can only understand them in the context in which they were said. Jesus says this to those who are saying his work of healing is actually evil. Like his family, they're in the crowd, but they're not coming to Jesus for healing. Instead, they're focusing on what power he has, where that power is coming from, and by doing so, they're unable to see the good thing that is happening right in front of them. They are not seeing that the broken are being made whole. It is not that Jesus would not heal them if they but asked. We know from other stories that he will. But as long as they are calling his healing evil, they cannot open their own broken hearts to the incredible grace that is pouring out in front of them. This crowd is pressing in around the table, full of different people. And I believe we can find ourselves in this story too. We are truly in the crowd pressing up to see Jesus. But who are we in this crowd? Are we trying to hide him? Are we afraid of what God may do among us? Sometimes I am. I'm afraid of what God will do if I truly give every part of myself. Sometimes I avoid seeking God more because I'm not sure I want to do what God may ask of me. And are we as a church ready for whatever the Spirit may do in this community? Because I am sure that it will be far beyond whatever we imagine. Or are we the ones too busy talking about Jesus and debating how God works in our world? Sometimes we talk about God because our faith seeks better understanding. But sometimes we're talking about God because we're afraid to actually open the depths of our souls and minds and hearts to the healing that is right before us. Sometimes we see God at work in our world and refuse to believe it because it does not fit into how God has worked in our own lives. And so we miss knowing God in a new way that may heal our souls. Or friends, are we the ones longing, aching, pressing in to reach out and touch the hem of the robe of the one who has brought healing we have never known? Are we coming with those aching and broken who have tried, we have tried and tried and tried to help, but all efforts have come up short? Are we gathered around them and bringing them to this one who we have heard can heal wounds that have never been healed before? This is our job. This is who we are. This is where the wounded are made whole. It is here that we must know our own wounds and continue to look deep into our own souls, to the places we are sure will keep us from knowing love and belonging. And it is we who are to reach out into our world and offer the promise that healing can be found, that nothing we have done or can do will ever keep this God who created us from longing to walk with us. And we must ask ourselves, are we ready for what that will bring? Because such a crowd will not be quietly filling pews. This crowd will be full of wounded people longing to be made whole, pushing and pressing in for the healing that is here. Because this is a reality that people are longing to know. There are plenty of voices that will tell people they are messed up. And there are plenty of voices out there that will tell them that they are really okay. But we all deeply know that neither of those is the full truth. It is here that we have the freedom to admit that we are broken, knowing that we are worthy of love. It is here that we proclaim that the love that is healing our hearts is available to everyone. Today we are in that crowd who gather around this table and reach out our hands for this same Jesus. Here, God joins us in the eternal fellowship of love and belonging for which we were created. Sometimes there will be healing for relationships we never thought possible. And sometimes there will be new bonds with people we never imagined that heal our souls in even deeper ways. And in this mystery around this table, the body and blood of Jesus become part of each of us. And week by week, day by day, we are made of the same body and blood that we share. And right here, before our very eyes, God will make family in many different and beautiful ways. Amen.